Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go. It is the 30th day of January 2015. January 2015 is, for broadcast purposes, a wrap. Yes, indeed. How's that for quick? Blazed right through the first month of 2015, and here we are standing at the threshold of, well, you know, February. Right. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That is where you will find the merry band that gathers together during every program in the chat room for a real-time multimedia interactive experience. And the chat room is, of course, like everything else at The Horn, free and completely accessible to anyone who wishes to participate. Good evening, Gerald. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Michael. Good evening, Paul. And good evening to Third Stage Guild Navigator Sparky, who has folded space and is, in fact, both Man Cave and Sparky in the chat room. It is Friday on the front porch. That, of course, is how we wrap up every week here at the Horn with an in-gathering. An in-gathering of folks who want to participate in our extraordinary, ordinary week's end roundtable. We will begin that in about 58 minutes or so. If you have never participated, you should try it. It's quite fun. Jump in and join the overall free-for-all that is open conversation, unlike any other radio program out there. Period. Bar none. Ain't nobody else doing this that I'm aware of. Now, how would you do that if you've never done it before? Well, you need to send a contact on Skype. First, you gotta fire up Skype. Then you send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk. And Sparky, being the longtime moderator and in many ways originator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, will get you into the fray and get you into the group so that you can have your say in our weekly wrap-up conversation. Sparky Dunk on Skype. I said Skype. Right? Right. Meanwhile, if you're already friended up, I suppose the signal is lit and the breadcrumbs are dropped, so just wander your way over and we'll be starting the conversation, like I said, in about 56 minutes. Yes. The Horn, of course, is listener supported. And big thanks going out to Greg and Chris last evening, overnight, who took care of funding for this evening. So thank you very kindly. That brings us to the end of January. And we try to raise $150 per evening. That's how we go about keeping everything on the air. Now, I'm going to mention a couple of things in that vein, and just to get your sense of how we want to go forward. February is a short month. It is the shortest of all the months. It will begin on Sunday, and I'm not sure what. Not that it much matters, but it begins on Sunday, and it ends on a Saturday. So we will have 1, 2, 3, 4 full weeks of broadcasting available to us during February. But over the last few weeks, it's been getting worse and worse and worse here with the production machine. And that's not to criticize it. It has done yeoman work for yay these very many years. And here is, here's where we stand. Technically, and I had a brief conversation with Ben Birch, who is my go-to on all things in this matter. technically, he tells me that when we go to replace it, an iMac, not the full, you know, Mac Pro or anything, which is just expensive, an iMac would more than meet our needs here. And the reason I mention an iMac instead of just building another computer is this. We have available for use a really, really nice mixer that could come into line and replace the mixer that we have been using for the last 10 years, which periodically John Fox will send me a note and say, "Mate, I hear the preamps failing," because John Fox can hear that sort of thing. It is designed to run through a FireWire connection. And we tried to make it run here. Not so much. And after a lot of conversation with the manufacturers, they said, "Listen, enough already. You want the thing to work right, go get a Mac." So that's where we find ourselves. Here's the question I'm putting. We have had a very generous offer of what amounts to a willingness to fund about one-third of a new iMac. What I'd like to know is, separate and apart from fundraising, is there an interest on pulling together the other two-thirds of the cost of that? Because if there is, I can order it and probably have it here and in line in the studio by next weekend. If there's not, well, we'll trundle along and hope that and we'll hitch old Dobbin to the shay and hope for the best until the production computer just craps out. So that's what I'd like your thoughts on. We have $500 sitting on the table for the purchase of a brand new iMac. And if we can raise another $1,000, I can get it in line. So let me know your thoughts, and hopefully Marty wants to know, is it FireWire 400 or 800? Doesn't matter. But let me know your thoughts, and hopefully, we'll just make a determination one way or the other. As it is, we're going to try to get a jump start this evening on February, hopefully raising $150. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. If you prefer to operate by the U.S. Postal Service, you can always reach out by that method, the address being The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV25801, with the reminder that checks and money orders should never be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but instead should be made to the Horn or Head On Communications, because Boss Man Wayne handles all of that. Boss Man Wayne, with whom we had a conversation just this past Friday on the front porch. He handles all of that, so just bear that in mind, please. So that I think that takes care of the housekeeping this evening. And, you know, the bare, essential, basic, minimum issues relative to keeping all of this on the air. One more thing. So the wild rice has gone out, and I've checked in, and it has been received, and received nicely. And we can go around on that one more time. I have available, for anybody who wants to kick in $100, the wild rice premium. For five people, and that's it, and then it's done. 1 pound available of wild rice harvested from the pristine water's edge of northern Wisconsin, processed by in the same manner as it has been for, you know, really 10 millennia? Yeah. And for any $100 contribution, you'll get in return a pound of the same. You just have to tell me, A, you want it, and B, give me an address for where to send it. Okie doke, okie doke. Note coming in from Greg. Mac all the way. I'm a Macintosh desktop support person at Heartland Area Education Agency, a state of Iowa agency. I'm one of two employees that maintain about 900 Macintosh computers. That tells you how easy they are to maintain. I endorse the Mac. Thank you, Greg. This particular unit that we want to bring online, which we hope will make the sound quality better, among other things here, is, it runs best, and well, it runs at all, because we've tried it through a number. We've tried it through a number of different PCs, and it just, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So there you go. But it would be consistent through a Mac. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Gary, Laborman. He just provided a Have a Show on Me, and that gets us started into February. Thank you very, very much. Anybody, this is an opportunity to get ahead a little bit. And so anybody wanting to jump in there alongside Gary, who is a longstanding supporter of the program, is welcome so to do. His message, have a Moran Monday on me. And indeed we shall, and I have a sneaking suspicion we will have plenty of Morans to have on you. And by way of carrying this forward, we've had a note in from Steve saying, I'm at a new contract gig, can't do as much as I was doing, but I can do a $15 challenge, so Steve would like somebody to match his 15 bucks going forward on Laborman's Have a Moran Monday on me. Okay, we've got our first pledge. Thank you very kindly. Until I hear otherwise, it will remain anonymous. $100 pledge toward the new Mac. And thank you very kindly. Note coming in from Marty. A lot of Mac people on the Horn. I don't maintain that many, as many as Greg, just a couple of dozen, but I still do it by myself. So, I don't know, maybe this is, hopefully this kind of could be the future. And, well, cross your fingers, okay? So basically, we are now at roughly $900 to go on the effort to bring in line a new iMac. Because really, this production, the production computer, it really has, it's done yeoman work. But I mean, for instance, it restarted about 45 minutes before the program, and it's sitting here grinding and grinding and grinding. Yeah. All right, then. So let's get started on the evening. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. All right. Thank you very kindly, Gerald. Gerald has responded to Steve. He says, Steve, I'll see your 15 and raise you 5. So the challenge is now $20 from Gerald. Gerald responding to Steve. So that takes things forward even further. So Gerald wants somebody to respond to his 20. Okay. Ooh, this could get interesting really quickly. Thank you, Gerald. Let's see here. The group has increased in the chat room. Good evening, Carol Abel, and good evening, Gerald, of course, and John, and Laborman, and Paul, and Ron, and Blake. Hey guys. By the way, I should probably issue a little note of information, because people have been asking questions. Where is News Ninja Carol Baker? As I mentioned, Carol is on the road. She is attending to family matters of a rather significant nature, and has asked me to convey her fondest regards to all the minions, and reminds everyone to be a giver. And hopefully she will be back as quickly as humanly possible. Yeah, see, there's a note, Blake and Madison pointing out, I don't like Macs, but I admit that if I had one, I wouldn't have to open the damn thing up every other week. See, yeah. So, somebody help me keep track of this. We have $900 to go on the iMac pledge drive. If only this were public radio. By the way, thanks for all the kind responses and kind words regarding last night's program. Just to share a couple of them, Chris, who kicked in on the have a show on me this evening. Chris wrote and said. I want to get this absolutely right. And, well, hey, look, the production computer isn't cooperating. Amazing. So I've got to go to backup to get to Chris's note. Chris, who's in Germany, said, that bill in West Virginia is no thorn in the side. It's a stake through the heart of our democracy. Thank you and Dr. Bill for devoting so much time to revealing its ramifications. Well, thank you, Chris, for taking time to write, and thank you for recognizing the gravity that it deserves, that act of manifest stupidity deserves. Michael and Madison wrote in to say that he said the Dr. Bill and Bob show should happen much more frequently, and I tend to agree. Dear God, hard drive, please stop grinding so we can do a program here. Na, 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 na. Well, some things we can address without. And then, you know, that's one of the challenges. The way I operate, now some old school people who do this business, this ain't a business, of course. Some old school types who do this do so with great stacks of photocopied stories in front of them. I used to be one of those people. I used to be so obsessive compulsive about it that I would have four or five different colors of highlighters. I'd, you know, this color for this, and then the notes in the margins. And somehow or another, over the years, I became paperless, relying instead on a whole raft of tabs of individual stories open. And that's great. That's great as long as it works. Right now, not so much. Just responding to a couple of notes. Indeed. Thank you, Gerald. Gerald says, welcome to the 21st century. I've been here for a while, Gerald. It just becomes a challenge when the... when old Dobbin, hooked to the Shay here, doesn't like being in the 21st century. Nonetheless, we can still try. I did not want to go too many days without pointing out something. It was a couple of nights ago when I got a tweet from John, who said, "Dear God, I hope you're watching Maddow right now." Well, I wasn't, but I made sure to catch the rerun. And it was there that I found out that Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford, had apparently been canned. That he, and here's the interesting thing. Now, I guess among the broader viewership, much broader, that Rachel Maddow has, as opposed to our merry little community, our Horn Family Commune congregation, a lot of people were shocked that there was somebody like Brian Fisher out there who just spent day in and day out spewing the most vile and bilious hatred. I mean, Brian Fisher makes Flush Flimball look like Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those people who, and God knows you've heard it, one of those people who is obsessed with where people go to the potty, because I guess there's some sanctified poo and some unsanctified poo and some righteous pee-pee and some sinful pee-pee. And Brian Fisher wants to make sure that it all goes in only the right places. The sinful and the unsanctified happen, and of course, the women's room, you know, Eve, all of that. By the way, I watched online the other night, I watched a fairly recent film called Transcendence with Johnny Depp and Paul Bettany and... Morgan Freeman. And I'll be damned if in the end, terrible things happen to your mind when, well, they're not really terrible, they make life a hell of a lot more interesting, when you're exposed to the thinking of people like Joseph Campbell early on, and Robert Bly, and folks like that. And so I'm attuned to modern manifestations of myth. I, for instance, I remember, sophomore year of college when I first began to be able to put, and you know, you sign up for classes, and lo and behold, here's all these courses, and I was like a kid in a candy store, and I took my first religion course in college, and it was called Space Age Mythology. It was taught by a brilliant professor at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, by the name of Christian Hauer. And the texts for Space Age Mythology were The Lord of the Rings, Naked Lunch, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History, Don't Ever Change Boopsie by Gary Trudeau. Oh, and there were a couple of others, and it was one of the most mind-bending classes I'd ever had. Because the epigram that headed the syllabus was, "There is no God but God, and Woody Allen is his prophet." Jesus, I hope. Well, anyway. And so we began to look at popular culture as manifestation of long-standing cultural myth. You know, Frodo's a Christ character, for God's sakes. So I'm attuned to that. So I was watching Transcendence the other night and got to the end of the movie, and damned if they didn't. If they didn't haul out the mark of Eve right toward the very end, and no spoilers, because it's a good movie. When I was starting to watch it, Ferg came in and said, "You watching Transcendence?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Deeply disturbing film, Dad." Ferg talks like that now. I said, "What's disturbing about it?" He said, "Not going to ruin it for you. I'll be leaving you alone now. I hate that movie." Well, it turns out he didn't hate it because it was a bad film. He hated it for content reasons. But I'll be darned if toward the end they didn't haul out the Eve screwed everything up trope and just, well, there you go, you know, with a little ribbon on it. But anyway, so Brian Fisher got himself nixed as communications director of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi Stan. Now, this is a guy, as noted, who has obsessed about where people go potty. He has sworn and be damned that the entire world will rend itself asunder right down to the core of the planet if a couple of guys are able to have their towels monogrammed because they're going to get married. And then go and pick out, they pick out the China pattern before they're married, don't they? Right. Or a couple of women. Because traditional family values merge. Right? Right. But I watched the segment on Rachel Maddow, and I thought, I smell a con. Because if it's coming out of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi Stan, it's got to be a con. Yeah, that whole thing was begun on a con. I was a little baby gospel DJ when the Donald Wildman mounted his first campaign against Wile E. Coyote. They're encouraging children to drop anvils on each other. Hey, Don, have you picked up an anvil lately, you moron? That was back when they were morons. Mother. Right. And so Brian Fisher has been Brian Fisher, and we have featured him time and time and time again and dissected him like, T.S. Eliot say, like a patient etherized upon a table. Oh, well, I've been straightened up. I'll never do that again. The Horn Department of Gay just sent me a note saying, "Monogram towels? How gauche?" I'm sorry, I can't keep up. Thanks, Steve. Thank you very much. How gauche. Well, what did you want? Are y'all using iron-ons now? What? I'm a little confused here. But anyway, you get the idea. The primary focus and locus of Brian Fisher's hate is gay people. With trans people coming in a close second. And the funny thing is, he has said nasty, evil stuff. I mean, he said evil stuff. About, I mean, evil. Doesn't know whether or not, it doesn't know Barack Obama might be the Kenyan Muslim usurper. Might be the Antichrist. That's all there. And he was toddling merrily along. And the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, was garnering more and more influence and support. You might recall that they used $3 million of their donors, who are largely little old blue-haired ladies sending in their Social Security checks, dollars. $3 million, the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, pumped into California's Proposition Hate. Mm-hmm. Nothing. They were the organizing principal of Rick Perry's presidential campaign kickoff prayer rally in Texas. Most recently, they hosted Piyush Bobby Jindal, amateur exorcist, in his prayer rally in Louisiana Stan. Not a peep. Nothing. Bupkis. Crickets. And quite some time back, Brian Fisher, and I do believe we played the clip here, because if I'm correct, I recall the near hissy that our buddy Jim had. Brian Fisher declared that it is 6:32 p.m. Who had 6:32? I have 6:32. It was Adolf Hitler who 6:32 wins the prize. 6:32. Reference to Adolf Hitler at 6:32 Eastern Standard Time. It was he surrounded himself with a cadre of really mean ass gay people, and they constituted his power base. I know. And that was fine, too. That was A-OK. Until it turned out that the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, arranged to invite all kinds of repig-licking leaders to go on a pleasure trip to Israel. Then, all of a sudden, people decided to have a look at what Brian Fisher had been saying. And he's been saying this shit for a decade. But once it became apparent that what he had said about, and I'm not going to say his name again, it's kind of like Beetlejuice, you only get one a night. That he had said it about him in conjunction to Israel, well, shit hit the fan. Kinda. When the Maddow Show reached out to Tim Wildman, who really doesn't live up to his name, he said, Brian Fisher is just a talk show host. So that made it sound like, or I guess hope, some people hoped it sounded like, Brian Fisher had lost his job. This, of course, is the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi stand we're talking about here. So necessarily there had to be some lying involved. Imagine my surprise when I saw a post from Haley in Arkansas who noted that, lo and behold, Brian Fisher is still on the air. Mm-hmm. He just lost his job title as communications director. Because, as Haley noted, by God, he was he was right there behind the microphone today. Via Twitter, Haley says, Brian Fisher just lost a job title at AFA. He's still on the radio at AFA as a plain old hate radio host. And there you go. So, lo and behold, who could ever have imagined it? The fine, fine people, Tim Wildman, at the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi stand, was lying. But it is still interesting that it took a planned trip to Israel with a bunch of Republican mucky mucks to get anybody to really, really make any trouble at all for Brian Fisher, proud son of Stanford, he of the helmet hair. And even that was not enough to get him off the air. Amazing, isn't it? Oh, the options that we have this evening. We have a little bit of a snowfall today. We had, here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold, Virginia, we had us some thunder snow this morning. I missed it. One of the staff folks down at the Rippy Mart was telling me it was beautiful. There was thunder and a whole bunch of snow and purple lightning, and I missed it. Damn. And into each life some rain must fall, right? Oh, this was, of course, nothing compared to the blizzard that hit the Northeast a few days ago. I saw a photograph shot stop action, and I'm presuming it wasn't photoshopped, of like a 30-foot wave crashing ashore down on Cape Cod or Nantucket or something. Never having been there, they could both be right side by side for all I know. But it was pretty stunning. This wall of frozen, freezing seawater. No, it wasn't frozen in place or anything. No. But all these frozen homes and just tumbled boulders there at the foot. Yeah, wow. So now it turns out that it wasn't just a blizzard. It was the blizzard that got forgotten, or that got overblown. It was an overblown blizzard. Don't you love the people who, because I guess to a certain extent, New York and Long Island were bracing for the blizzard, but didn't get nearly the hammering that was predicted. So therefore, that part of the forecast was wrong. And to hear people pissing and moaning about it, you would think that they wanted to see some frozen dead bodies in the streets, damn it. This wasn't any fun at all like to cover like Katrina, the Sandy was, or Katrina. Enter America's truth detector with one Dominican boy tied up behind my back. Right? Flush Flimbaugh. Oh, shoot. Let's just go to the audio. We hope. Oh, for pity's sakes, is it going to be like this all night?
And your question reminds me of something I would normally have mentioned at the beginning of the person earlier. It says, how in the hell can a snowstorm that hasn't happened be historic? And it's a brilliant question. You know,
fluid term, that, brilliant.
Started paying attention to this yesterday for reasons related to the kid's death, and getting in and out of New York. So I'm paying attention to this, and I see record of all time blizzard is being forecast. And then I see this idiot mayor on TV telling...
Idiot mayor would be a reference to Bill de Blasio, because, of course, Bill de Blasio can't possibly be as intelligent as a drug-addled, OxyContin-crunching, illegal Viagra-schlepping, Dominican little boy vacation-taking Rush Limbaugh.
Everybody, this could be, might be, likely will be, the absolute worst blizzard in the history of blizzards in New York.
Nobody said that. Shut the up. Nobody said that this was the worst blizzard in the history of blizzards. Nobody said that. But if you're one of the few million people with thin gray settling, sloshing around with your great big giant amygdalas, you believe Flush because he's America's truth detector. With talent on loan from God, margin call mother. Yeah.
Oh, this sounds pretty cool. What's this going to be? So I dug deep and I got the details. 25 to 30 inches of snow, maybe 3 feet of snow. Worse than it's ever been. And, you know, the usual things. Don't drive. Stay home if you can't avoid it. If you have to go out, don't go out.
Oh, no, not you, Rush. We want you driving. I would prefer that you have racing slicks on your Maybach, and that the roads you choose to drive on be like hockey rinks. Everybody stay home but Rush. Rush gets to drive. Because, of course, why would you advise people to stay home and be safe and warm with the possibility of an impending blizzard? Why would you do that? Now, I don't know if you saw any of the coverage, but what? There were reporters from the for-profit media. The one I saw was somebody over on MSNBC driving down some interstate in Massachusetts that didn't have anybody on it, talking about how nobody was supposed to be on the highway. Yeah. And, of course, there was nothing to report. This is not new. I was at CNN in early 1987, I think it was, when a big ice storm came. And, of course, we had Team Eyewitness News Channel coverage, Ice Apocalypse 1987. And all the news, all the TV stations in Atlanta had their little camera crews parked on and standing on an overpass. I think it's 14th Street that goes over to the Varsity, where the world's most wonderful hot dogs are. Okay, the most wonderful hot dogs in the South. No, in Georgia. Okay, in Atlanta. But anyway, they were all they were shooting stand-ups and footage with traffic driving by below them on the I-85 connector, waiting for the ice storm. Because, you know, that's some news. But no, we would have preferred for... No, Flush, you go driving around. preferably on an iced over bridge or something, okay? Yeah, that's a good point. Steve, who happens to be in New York City, points out, can you imagine if the weather folks had been right and Mayor de Blasio hadn't done what he did, what Rush Hemorrhoid would have said?
My friends, this was a deliberate effort to kill conservative New Yorkers. The liberals, of course, will stay inside because they're afraid of everything. But Mayor de Blasio didn't warn anybody to stay inside, and bold, patriotic, conservative New Yorkers went out and got themselves frozen to death and killed and stuff. And it's his fault.
Yeah. Yay. Let's go on.
Stay home, stock up, do everything, go empty the groceries. In essence, it's time to panic. So I started looking all the different places that have weather websites. Like AccuWeather, everyone, National Weather Service, Wild Guess. I went everywhere trying to find as much detail as about this as I could.
Weather Underground?
Because I can't tell you the number of times a record or major snowstorm has been forecast. This year alone, I was just trying to think last night, trying to recall a couple instances where they forecast something that's going to be really, really bad, and it hasn't even come close to being, not even close to bad, much less really, really bad. And not just in New York, but elsewhere around the country. I mean, it's been a horrible, horrible year for forecasts. And the reason is, if I can cut to the quick and get to your, the left has corrupted everything.
What?
And just like the left has corrupted the professoriate.
The professoriat? Is that like the ruby yacht of Omar Khayyam? It's obligatory bullwinkle, well, non-obligatory bullwinkle reference. The left has ruined everything. They ruined the weather. He never got off the pills, did he? He's just hitting the cough switch and chewing them up for the refreshing burst of flavor. Really. He's not cooking the damn things in a spoon. What?
Forecast something that's going to be really, really bad, and it hasn't even come close to being, not even close to bad, much less really, really bad. And not just in New York, but elsewhere around the country. It's been a horrible, horrible year for forecasts. And the reason is, if I can cut to the quick and get to your, the left has corrupted everything. And just like the left has corrupted the professoriate, the faculty at major institutions of higher learning, the left has populated all these bureaucracies. The Department of Commerce runs the National Weather Service. And do not believe that they're not politicized. Look at after Hurricane Katrina. Look at the very next hurricane season. Global warming was responsible for Katrina, and that meant Katrina was just the first of many that were going to follow. And they were all going to be bad, each one worse than the one before it. It's just...
Now, damn it! Who said that? Because nobody did. What was actually said was that there was a significant possibility that we would have bigger and meaner storms. And that we would also have periods of smaller and weaker storms, but that the variance between the two would become a much broader swing, a much bigger pendulum sweep, if you will, as a result of climate change. And guess what? It's true. Rush, you dumbass. Sandy? Anybody? Really? But, you know, lucky for him, he doesn't have listeners with critical thinking skills.
We're learning. The left has populated all these bureaucracies. The Department of Commerce runs the National Weather Service. And do not believe that they're not politicized. Look at, after Hurricane Katrina, look at the very next hurricane season. Global warming was responsible for Katrina, and that meant Katrina was just the first of many that were going to follow. And they were all going to be bad, each one worse than the one before. It's just part of global warming. There hasn't been a major hurricane landfall in this country in 3,000 freaking days. Cat 4, Cat 5 has not happened. But part and parcel of the left taking over is, okay, you got a forecast and it's going to rain. What do they do? Didn't we not have a story last week? Some idiot got frostbite standing outside in the rain and the cold, telling everybody it was cold.
Wait, wait. That's not a problem with forecasting, Rush. I mean, we realize that your brain is just swimming in the synthetic opiates. But that's not the fault of liberals. That's the fault of a for-profit media model that says that we're going to run out and do these kind of things because people want to see them and we can sell advertising, which means it's a function of what? Wait, could it be? Yes, capitalism and marketing and advertising, all of which are essential components of said capitalism. Well, I think we've induced a small hissy in Gerald. Oh, his God! Does this idiot really believe any of this horse shit? Every word of it. Marty, meanwhile, pointing out, National Weather Service politicized? Like Homeland Security was politicized during W? Well, that doesn't count, because, my friends, that was the patriotic necessity to make sure that the jackbooted Union thugs kept their greedy mitts off of the Transportation Security Administration. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had union thugs checking our shoes at the airport? Of course, no one checks my shoes at the airport, my friends, because I have a Gulfstream 5. Because I am a professional broadcaster who pulls down $50 million freaking dollars a year, and nobody yet has caught on to the fact that I, in no wise, am any kind of... right. Ixnay. Not much more of this left. It's okay. We'll be all right.
Some TV reporter got frostbite and then apparently lost an ear or something reporting, telling people not to stand outside. It's a part and parcel of liberalism is the nanny state, and to assume that we can't take care of ourselves. The assumption that we don't know what's best for us. That we have to be told, don't drive when the roads are slick. That we have to be told, make sure you bundle up and put on extra layers. You're going to go out when it's cold. And
well, we're talking about an America that probably needs to be told that. Because there's several million people who have been listening to your sorry ass for 20 years, Flush. You cannot count on your average teabagger to, we've got a saying here in the hills and hollers. Ain't got enough sense to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. Which is a variation on ain't got enough sense to come in out of the rain. Either of which readily and easily applies to, you know, your God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing repig-licking.
Make sure you don't shovel your snow too rapidly. Could lead to a heart attack.
Shovel it, Rush. Shovel it. Shovel faster, buddy. You're too slow. Oh, wait a minute. You've got somebody who does that for you.
And all these don'ts. Be sure and don't. And then if you do and you suffer a heart attack, here's what to do if you have a heart attack. And here's how to...
Yeah, because we don't want to tell anybody what to do if they have a heart attack because, well, die. This is liberalism? Telling someone what to do in case of a heart attack, you know, eat an aspirin, call 911. Hope that somebody around you knows CPR. That's liberalism? I thought it was education. But see, at its core, that's the problem here. This is a perfect example of how the right wing despises education. They don't want people told, I guess, that there's a potential for a blizzard. No, hell no. Get your bikini on, put on your board shorts, whatever. Get out there, take the little metal thing, wait for the, cause, you know, everybody goes out to catch some rays in January in New York. God almighty. Note from Ron in Raleigh. Doesn't this bloviating pillock, good words, still live in Florida on the ocean? Wait till the next Hurricane Andrew strength storm makes landfall on his fat ass. Imagine Rush standing in the rubble of his 50,000 square foot mansion. Nope, ain't gonna happen. He'll clear the out. Because nowhere in this clip do you hear, my friends, as the patriotic descendant of Rush Revere. Jesus. Yeah, that was mentioned last night. I forget who sent that along during the discussion about this bill in West Virginia. Wait till these teabaggers declare that one of the required texts is going to be Rush Revere. But no, Flush will bug out. You know, after he's hired Z or Blackwater or whatever we're calling him to go looter hunting in the shambles of his residence. Rush is not going to put up the plywood and sit there and wait out the storm to prove his conservative bona fides any more than he was going to take his palandial cyst on his ass to Vietnam. Right? Right. Hey, you forgot about him being a draft dodger, didn't you?
Call 911, and here's how to clear the street for EMS to get to your house. And it's all predicated on the fact that we are idiots and don't know how to protect ourselves and don't know what's best. And don't know how to make
problems. No, it's predicated, you dumbass, on the fact that we have forgotten how to be community anymore because of people like you pontificating for the last couple of decades about how everybody's a lone wolf. And we're all just going to pull ourselves up by our little Ayn Rand bootstraps and live the free market capitalist miracle. That's what that is.
For judgments. Well, that's how you get an historic snowstorm before it's even started snowing. Everything is a crisis.
No, you get these predictions because of computer modeling. And I'm not talking about computer modeling like, you know, little 3D rotatable images of the little Dominican boys that you sit around thinking about, Rush. I mean, smart stuff. Things that look at this air mass and that warm air and this cold air and this yada, then boom, prediction. And by the way, it was predicted from roughly New Jersey and New York City up the New England coast. They got it right in New England. Didn't happen to notice Flush pointing that out now, did you? No, hell no. Of course not. Because it doesn't fit in with his bigoted worldview. Note coming in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan. And by the way, if you received a pound of wild rice, we'll be waiting on your reports. Diane points out, Rush should keep his filthy mind out of the professoriate. It must scare some of them to death that there is a large group of people formally committed to the ideals of the academy. Too bad! That cat has long been out of the bag. Diane in Kansasstan, where wildcats roam free with books in hand. Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Thank you also going out to Rob. Rob answered Gerald's challenge, who answered Steve's challenge. Steve started out with a $15 challenge. Gerald answered it and raised it by $5 to a $20 challenge. Rob answered that and raised it another $5 to $25, so there is a $25 challenge on the table this evening. Might want to get in now before this thing gets out of hand. Oh, God. We are at the top of the hour. I don't know how we got here so quickly. Wow, awesome group in the chat room this evening. John John's in there. Good evening, John John. Good evening, Kelly and Kathy. Good evening, Mr. Gibson. Good evening, Roger in Humboldt. Good evening, Steve Sentient. Good evening, Will from Chicago. And more to come as folks decide to jump into the party. So as soon as the media player opens up, and I want to tell you, I'm not kidding. From 30 minutes before airtime to now, the hard drive light has not gone off. This thing is grinding away. And that's what's made the audio a little dodgy and slow and stuff like that. Yeah. So let's take a break, and Sparky will fire up the Horn Malloy Skype chat group for this evening's Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. We've had another pledge come in toward the attempt to get a an iMac into the system here. And if you want to be part of that, just let me know. I mean, this isn't like we're asking for money right now for that. I'm just trying to find out if there's interest. And if we could get up to the $1,500 mark, we might have a new mixer and a new computer in line by next weekend. Ain't that cool? Yes, it is. So, again, you know how to get into the Horn Malloy Skype chat group if you're not already connected as a contact to Sparky Dunk on Skype, Sparky Dunc on Skype. That's where you send one if you want to participate, and you never have before. Yay, Diane pointing out the rice arrived. I can't wait for the report. The Gizmo line, of course, you know, 304-663-4676, with a new feature. No more beeping. I finally remembered to take care of that today. Look, I get around to things when I can. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Heat up. These white nights.
I love that song. That's from Donald Fagen's The Comicariad of Jesus, what, the mid-90s or something? Snowbound. It is Friday on the Front Porch, and holy cow, this is apparently an idea that is taking off. Put an iMac into line and bring in the new, well, new to us. I mean, we had it for a while, just can't use it. Mix desk. Okay? This is amazing. We are two-thirds of the way toward the new iMac already, which just blows my mind. And a huge thank you to our dear friend Robert in Australia. He asked that I also include it toward February's 20th of the month up over down under challenge. He said, I'm sending some money for the new iMac before the Aussie dollar isn't worth anything. Tony Abbott's that effective, is he? So, wow. Thank you very kindly. So there we are. Two-thirds of the way to a new iMac. That's just amazing. And hopefully it'll be the beginning of some really cool stuff happening here. Wait a minute, I've got to kill the music. There, all better now. Let's go over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is Friday on the Front Porch. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening. You had music going? I couldn't hear it.
Huh. Okay, that's strange. Oh, please. Well, maybe the production machine was busy. It appears to be. I'm wondering when this hard drive's ever going to slow down and settle down. But so far, no. How are you? What's going on?
Oh, I'm enjoying climate change spring. Been working around the estate, getting my pruning done because the way climate changes, all the fruit trees will start blooming next month.
Well, and then you'll be screwed because you'll get a cold snap, right?
Oh, it's happened before.
Yeah.
But the bees get all screwed up too. I think we had pretty good apricots last year. The bees did their thing. But it started blooming in February.
Well, I just had a note from my sister down on the Gulf Coast. She said it was a warm, pretty day down there. You know, they even get cold there along the Gulf Coast from, say, you know, Corpus Christi over to Pensacola and Fort Walton and all of that. But no, it was warm and pretty on the next to last day of January.
I heard it was like 83 degrees in the middle of Kansas the other day.
Well, it ain't 83 degrees here. I can promise you that. I had to break out the propane bottles this evening. For the first, this is weird, Sparky. For the first time in I think a week, I had to turn on let's keep feeling in Bob's toes mat.
Oh.
So we got that, an electric heater, and a gas heater going.
Well, it'll be a good day for wind turbines here. 24-mile-an-hour wind gusts. My neighbor has this little ornamental windmill. It's metal up on a tower kind of thing.
Oh, kind of like the one that Dorothy's Auntie M and Uncle Fergus or whatever had there in Canada, the old school one.
Well, it doesn't pump anything or do anything.
It just looks cute and homey and, yeah.
Well, it's got a bearing or something going out on it. When it spins, it makes a hell of a lot of racket. And it was crying today.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. So that's where I was at. Outside in the wind today.
So did you get all the pruning done?
Oh yeah, it's all cut up, got all put out for recycle, and gone today. Didn't have to burn it or anything. And they got another patch of ground plowed now, too. Don't know what I'll plant in it yet. And I'm trying to catch a gopher. It's driving me nuts.
A gopher, not a golfer, right?
A gopher. Gopher. He goes all the way around the foundation of the shop sometimes. And leaves a mound all the way around it. And it'll go around the redwood tree and into the yard. So I'm trying to trap that. I feel like Bill Murray when I was out there.
Well, now, wait a minute. Tell me, you haven't made any little plastic animal friends for him.
No, not yet. Just that trap. See if we can get it to work. It's a little box trap thing you put in the ground. Works just like kind of like a mouse trap. So the gopher goes in one end and hits this ring, and then.
Don't tell me there's a guillotine in there.
No, it just chokes them. It snaps up.
Oh, like oh, it's a gopher. Oh, wait, it's a gopher garret. Gopher garrot. Oh, that's just... Oh, Sparky. Oh. Good evening to the rest of the assembled Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable with an invitation for anybody else to jump in who wants to.
Sorry to piss you off, Gerald.
Good evening, Gerald. You're pissed off?
Shut it, Sparky. I've been in the snow all day, freezing my ass off. Thanks, Obama.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Damn liberals.
That's because they've taken over the weather. Liberal weather.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio.
Good God.
Yeah, liberals have taken over the radio. The weather.
Nice.
Well, the radio too. Hell, you know.
Why do we like snow so much?
I don't like snow.
Well, you're liberal. You took over the weather. It's your snow. Stop it.
I didn't get the memo.
You know, that's the other thing we suck at, memos, because, you know, the gay folks don't get the gay agenda every morning. The trans people don't get the transgendered agenda every morning. I can't get the environmental memo half the time. And there you are out there f***ing up the weather, and you didn't get the memo.
Well, you know, it's hard to control it from the FEMA camp. It really is. Good thing I've got Wi-Fi.
Well, and let me guess, you're accessing your Wi-Fi on your godforsaken Obama phone, aren't you?
Oh yeah, of course. I don't pay for that shit. I get all the freebies, Bob. You know,
moocher.
I better than people that work, right?
Right. You moocher. Why aren't you out there lifting yourself up by your Ayn Rand bootstraps?
Because why should I? Hell, the government's paying for my Cadillac and my Section 8 home and my food stamps and, you know, get the check every month. I mean, why should I work?
Long walk to the mailbox once a month. Yep, know what it is. Yeah, absolutely.
All 20 feet or so.
Yeah, you're just living the life of Riley.
No, not really, Larry.
As a retired person, everything has to be direct deposit. There's no walk to the mailbox.
Oh, it's like that everywhere.
Well, thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama, and your direct deposit Nazis.
718. Who had 718?
I didn't say the H word.
Well, okay, that was indirect. Okay, yeah, I asked earlier who had 632.
I lied and said I did because no one else claimed it.
Well, see, that's because you're a liberal. You're a liberal.
Hey, don't mess with me. I'll fuck up the weather. Send a tornado to your house or some shit. You know?
You know something? Hide there for
Could you tell. Send me some more rain? We didn't get enough.
I don't want to hear anything out of you, Sparky. You're 73 degree weather and shit. You just stay out there.
Pruning the apricots in January.
Cleaning up the yard, plowing the garden. I'd like to see you try that here. It's frozen about 6 inches down.
Oh, bullshit. It's frozen about an inch in, and from there down, it's mud. Who are you trying to kid, Gerald?
Well, you know, I wanted to embellish a little bit.
You know what? I did find out one thing. The Apparently, the ancient art of advising on the liabilities of proprietors of stores in not clearing their sidewalks is a lost art now. I saw Ferg was trying to walk into the local Dollar General, because that's what we got now.
Local staple store. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we were going after salt, rock salt. And Ferg is agile and athletic, and he just gets out there and then whoop. It was like something out of a Buster Keaton comedy, you know, the flailing arms and the legs all over the place until he, but luckily he did manage to recover his balance. But you know, apparently in 2015, corporations are no longer interested in whether or not you bust your ass on their premises. Have they reformed torts that much now that you don't even have to worry about it anymore?
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody had to rein in those tasseled loafer-wearing trial lawyers.
That's right. Dollar General's got those wired-up buggy stops.
Oh, yeah. Take them off the lot. They lock the wheels up.
Yeah.
I've seen the signs. I've never tried to steal a buggy, but or shopping cart.
That's all they did here. I mean, they
shopping cart. In Appalachia.
I don't even think they have fly fans anymore.
The trend seems to be the little small carts, about, you know, I don't know, got a basket about two foot by 2 foot square.
You know what a fly fan is, don't you?
Oh yeah, the thing at the door. Yeah.
Air curtain.
Scares the hell out of you when you walk through and it kicks on. Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
I was putting those back in, installing those back in the Reagan days.
Well, it's still Obama.
Oh, you mean back when America was great?
Yeah, when America was great. That's right.
No, it was a California code. Certain, like, a hospital kitchen entrance that I worked on back in 87, I think. As soon as you opened the door, the fly fan kicked on.
I'd like to thank Obama for being thoroughly underwhelming, along with the rest of the Democratic Party.
Larry, did you miss the sarcasm there, buddy?
Yeah.
Do you have your Vulcan ears on this evening, Larry? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like, it's just thoroughly underwhelming. Thank you, Obama. Oh, boy. I hope I was intelligent enough to figure it out.
Well, careful, Larry. We're trying to control the weather here.
Oh, really? Well, unfortunately, I don't have those kinds of powers.
See, Bob? There's another one that didn't get the memo.
Hey, Larry, did you hear it?
What the hell's wrong with our communications department?
Duncan, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
Did you hear that Bob's trying to get an iMac?
You know something, Duncan? I did hear that. And I've also done some inquiry. But, you know.
Did you ever get that thing strapped down?
No, I haven't. So I think at this point,
hope it don't fall on you again.
It almost has about two or three, four times. Really, seriously. But I should get one of those. What is it called? It's called what kind of strap? Anyway,
razor strap?
No, he's got plumber's tape or something to screw it down. Just running across the base. That's how I did the monitor I put into the. Into the man cave.
Will it go into what is it called? Poster board, or is that the kind of? It's a poster board. That's what I've got. I've got it sitting on a poster board ledge. Yeah, that's what the...
How thick is it?
You mean pasteboard or I mean, what, sheetrock?
Yeah, it's not sheetrock. It would be probably pasteboard.
Larry, it cannot be poster board. Poster board is an eighth-inch thick sheet of cardboard. And if you have an IMAX sitting on that, you're really screwing up.
Well, then I'm absolutely, absolutely, completely off on some other planet. It's some kind of a phony wood, texturized something.
So that's particle board.
Particle board, that's what it's on. I'm sorry, folks, but I have to, you know, I mean, if I don't know something, I don't know something. and if I'm out there, I really am out there. So.
But do you know what a paper poke is?
No, I don't. But in any case, it's particle board. So, will that strap go into particle board and will it stay?
Well, can you access both sides of the board? Is it like a shelf?
It's a shelf, yes.
Then you probably should bolt it down on it with washers.
Okay.
On the bottom side.
Okay.
If you talk to your handyman.
Okay. I'll do that.
Hey, you're talking about one of those old-fashioned IMAX that everything's all in the monitor?
Yes, sir. Yes, Roger. It's 50 pounds. And it has one of those, it has a molded stand in the back, and it also has the stand that it sits on is kind of curved. It's 50 pounds, and everything is in the monitor. Yes. Sorry.
Oh, I was just thinking about going out and getting about 5 pounds of museum wax and putting it down underneath and then setting the monitor back down on top of all the museum wax, and that would probably hold it. I mean, are you looking about earthquake problems or what?
Yeah, we're worried about earthquake problems. We're also worried about the cords getting caught in my wheelchair, and I'm going along, and I'm sort of doing whatever I'm doing, and oops, there goes the monitor crashing down on me. And
well, you're nice and soft. It'll bounce.
Well, I might not be able to.
Ah, come on, Larry. I know.
Remember, Roger, Larry's got his Vulcan ears on this evening.
Yeah.
You know who else had cords on their monitors?
Don't even try it. You probably already wrote down 729, didn't you? Oh, hey, you know what? I've been negligent.
It doesn't count if you do it yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't count if you do it yourself. Let's go to the Gizmo line. Bill is with us. Hey, Bill.
Good evening.
How are you?
Relative to what?
The
old saying goes.
Well, you know, all things are relative. All relatives are things, and my relatives got all my things.
Yeah, you got that right. It's been interesting so far. The weather forecasters, yeah. Because I used to have I was having a little thing going with one young woman, and she liked to watch the Weather Channel incessantly. And me, I just, I had to take off from that big island off the coast of, between Georgia and South Carolina. I took off on a day that looked really threatening to get back on the mainland, and that's where I, driving north, I stopped at this general store, and I think I told you this. I walked in there, and this guy had a box full of hams. Just the hams, didn't it? And papers, brown paper.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's the way they're good.
Yeah.
Well, remember, the preferred purveyor of ham for the Horn, Bill, is... Benton's of Madisonville, Tennessee, is it? I know them primarily for their bacon, but their ham is stunning, too. They were backlogged a couple of years ago because they'd had a fire in their smokehouse, and while one would expect there to be fire in the smokehouse of some sort, this was a bit much. And so it took down one of their smokehouses. They were a little bit late getting my order to me, and so they sent along a couple of complimentary ham hocks, which I promptly cooked in a big pot of Mayakoba beans.
Yep.
And oh my heavenly days, Bill! After a while in the crock pot, the ham hock just fell to pieces, and it was the most delicious dadgum stuff. And you didn't, and it was lovely because it meant you didn't have to salt the beans. Country ham, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's good.
Hey, just an observation. It's been quiet up here, but I mean, nothing special. I only know one thing: if we're getting a direct west wind, and there's snow, Buffalo's going to get creamed. Because when it comes from the northwest, Cleveland, Erie, Ashtabula County in Ohio, and you know, as the wind comes in off the lake, hitting the land, you know, immediately. But when it goes due west, you look at a map. There's Buffalo, and where did it go? It's all white now, you know. Of course, that made racists happy because it was an all white city, you know what the hell. Anyway, that's another story. But
well,
you
know, you'd think
keep
that.
The thing going.
You'd think that if us liberals had control of the weather, we'd make it nice and sunny and stuff. So apparently we're not very good at it.
No, we can't do anything right. And by the way, I just can't believe that Limbaugh is still standing there spouting like, do you think he would have run out of crap by now? I guess he eats a lot, but it looks like he does anyhow. I used to find him amusing when he first came on the air. But
yeah, when he wasn't
over that
didn't have such a following.
Yeah.
When he wasn't quite so damaging.
Pardon me?
When he didn't have the audience that he does, and he wasn't as damaging as he is.
Oh yeah, I mean he would have you believe he runs that party.
Well, that's only because he does.
Hey,
yeah.
Can I tell you about a little law about eggs?
Go right ahead.
Go for it. I went to the store yesterday, and I bought a dozen eggs, and guess they were like $4.69 or something like that.
A dozen?
A dozen.
Oh,
that's because California's chicken cage size law was put into effect on the 1st of January. So they have to give the chickens more room to run. So they're passing the price on to the consumers now.
Thanks, Obama.
Of course.
Jerry Brown and our Democratic state legislature.
No, it's Obama's fault. It's always Obama's fault.
Well, you guys know what runs downhill anyway, so.
Sparky, they're blowing smoke up your ass. You must have been buying range organic eggs price.
In Raley's, right here.
No. I know why it is. It's because of the new California egg standards.
Well, yeah, there's the California egg standards, but the price, it's the corporations gouging money, blaming a new regulation, and it's all bullshit.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt of that, Roger. Anytime, you know, for all the right wing talks about we hate the job killing regulations. Every time a regulation comes along, the boys over in accounting calculate that it's going to cost 1/16 of a millionth of a penny per product to observe the regulation, and then jack the price up by 97 cents.
Yep.
You know, because capitalism.
Well, I mean, even at the farmer's market last summer, where they're all range-fed, tractor chicken coops, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Eggs were not $4 a dozen. Not any... Hell, I remember selling eggs at $1 a dozen and people bitched at me.
Better now, Roger.
Well, go to Costco.
I'm not driving to Reading.
Now, how far is Reading?
30 miles.
How far is Corning?
18. When did they put a... There's no Costco in Corning.
Oh, that was a side comment. It has to do with a 69th and 70th birthday party that I might be coming to over in Corning in October.
Oh.
Oh, by the way, are you home?
Figured I'd pitch a tent in your yard.
Are you home now, Roger, or are you still raising grandbaby?
I'll be home tomorrow.
Very nice. Well, you know, now that we... And it blows my mind. It really, really does. That January is just gone. So it'll soon be time for me to send you those seeds, will it not?
Yes, it will, and I've done a little bit more research, and if you are a Native American, you can write to the appropriate people, and they are distributing these seeds to Native American farmers throughout the country because they want to increase the use of Native Americans to grow Native American products to share with the Native American people.
Good. Thanks, Obama. Right?
Well, I don't think he had much to do with it, but he hasn't had much to do with anything we've thanked him for tonight.
Hashtag thanks Obama, trending on Facebook.
Well, I am so curious. I hope you can get these things going, Roger, and can, you know, save seed and new plants. And
However, I have found out that the and I don't remember all the Latin names for all the stuff right now, but the variety keys over to the winter squash, like the Hubbards and butternuts and that kind of stuff, and they will not cross-pollinate with the zucchinis and the yellow crooknecks and the patty pans. So I don't have to only grow the very good old squash. I can also grow a little bit of zucchini for me and all that because they won't cross-pollinate. My big fear is I really don't want to get any cross-pollination going on, and so I may have to tape up blossoms and hand-pollinate and do that kind of stuff if I find out anybody within a quarter mile of my house is also growing squash that would cause a cross-pollination and dilute the strain.
So what do they cross-pollinate with?
The winter squash.
Oh, the winter squash. Okay. I misunderstood you there.
Yeah, not the summers. The summer squashes are a different, and I'm not a botanist. There's species and families and, you know, all the rest of that. And certain things will cross-pollinate with other things. I mean, like the zucchini, the winter squash, and the cucumbers all come from a similar group. But a cucumber will not cross-pollinate with a squash. But they will cross-pollinate cucumber to cucumber. And
right.
Then it divides down into your winter squash.
Well, see, that proves that evolution is a lie.
Of course. That's a good thing, right? Because
thanks, Obama.
Exactly.
Tomatoes and corn marrying, you know, wheat, and it would be awful.
Yeah, well, wheat and corn aren't going to cross because they're too far separated.
Right. But you know what I want? Why won't Monsanto do something useful? I want a tomato that's had the spicy gene from chili peppers spliced into it. That I want.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, call it the salsa lifter.
The best you can get, as far as I know, is a tomato plant. You grow the tomato plant, and then when the tomatoes are all done, you dig it up and you get potatoes out of it, out of the roots.
Oh, that makes sense because they're both
Nightshade.
Derived from the deadly nightshade, yeah.
But I don't know of a spicy tomato.
I know. Well, and see, that my last garden many and many, many a year ago now, the one that broke my heart when the deer came through and ate 125 tomato plants and 72 hot peppers. I was joking. I said, God damn it, I've got jerky on the hoof out here. I mean, pre-spiced for my convenience and can't do a damn thing about it. Because there was no way to take one down without shooting within 500 feet of a dwelling. Now, let a coal company rain a few tons of poison down on top of a community. Nah, they get away with that. You let Bob go after the deer taking down his garden, I'll be under the jail.
Yeah, but
no, Bob.
That's
progress. Bob, what you need to do is take your flashlight, tape it to the barrel of the .22, and get your angle right so you're not going to put a bullet through a neighbor window, and do shots either into the ear canal or at the very back base of the skull.
Who do you think I am, Natty freaking Bumpo?
Well, just give a little practice. And, you know, when your wife's upstairs in the bedroom, she doesn't even hear the gun go off. And then you load it in a garden-way cart, you take it into the barn, string it up, gut it out, and dump the hide in the river and the guts and put it in the fridge and cut it up and wrap it up and put it in the freezer and call it snow peas.
Well, if you're going to push deer in West Virginia, you might as well just do it in the daylight because no one pays any attention to a gunshot anyway.
Well, but make sure you use a .22 because it's nice and quiet.
Then
go for headshots. You either miss or you kill. If you try to do a heart shot or something like that, you can wound them and they run off and die in pain. But you do a headshot, you either missed it or it's dead.
And you haven't ruined the meat.
No. Tim's not in here, is he?
No, he's in the chat room.
Yeah. I was going to answer his question, but, well, I'll do it. Tim.
Tim wants to know how the F is giving more chicken space make more eggs more expensive.
If you have to, instead of four chickens in one cage, reduce it to one chicken in more cage to produce the same number of eggs, you got to have four times the number of cages to put out the same number on your farm. And that's what they're railing about.
Well, I worked a long time ago. What it cost me to catch fish. You might as well go back.
Catching fish is cheaper to go to the store.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, the part of the Thanks Obama guy this evening will be played by Gerald.
No one wants to listen to me be a smartass all night.
Well, I've said it a couple of times.
By the way, a reminder for anybody wanting to participate in the chat room conversation, if you want to be on the Horn Molloy Skype chat side of it, you need to send us a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, and Sparky will get you into the conversation. Now, I have to ask. I'm proud of myself. I showed a little bit of presence of mind. Has anybody noticed during Bill's portion of the conversation that we haven't had any beeps?
Yes.
And
quite nice.
Yeah, isn't it lovely? I only had to wait on hold for about 20 minutes to get that done, so.
Well, the only thing I used to like about it, I could leave you a message and at least, you know, I'd be able to communicate that way. Because usually the message was something I had picked up. You're so sharp on picking up the same nonsense that I get.
Well, no, you can still leave a message, but there's no interference from call waiting into this line now.
Yeah.
Which is just awesome.
I have that, and if I don't have my machine on, or if I'm on the phone, and it goes to the machine, because my buddy put me on the biggest cell phone company. Is what I'm talking to you through right now. what is it? You know, it's a desk phone, but, you know. And they have a thing that says, I have no message, outgoing message. No, I don't. I have it on a machine that answers after four rings, you know.
Is it an Obama phone, Bill?
No. I never got one of those, and I've been screaming I want one, but it's nice to have a cell phone. The first cell phone I had came in a goddamn bag.
Yeah, mine too.
It took two guys to carry it, you know.
I got my first cell phone because Agnes was pregnant with Margaret, and she had terrible preterm labor during the entire pregnancy. And I got that so that she could reach me anywhere, anytime. And you know, carrying that thing on a shoulder strap with me and, you know, hello. And then I realized that the first 100 calls I made were, hey, honey, guess where I am? I'm in the car! Ah!
Well, I should have one because of, you know, just... Can I do a thanks, Obama?
No, Gerald is the thanks Obama guy.
Well, I could just
copyright release to it. I don't have copyright on it.
I was just going to say about the Skype group. If you're in the Skype group already, you have contact with me. All you have to do is IM me, and one mouse click, I can put you into the group. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama, for that. That's thanks to you. That's thanks to you and Bob.
Well, it's a rhetorical thing. Him running for president in 2008 kind of got me, steered me in this direction that the Skype group started. So, thanks, Obama.
Okay.
Well, I had the pleasure of, when I voted for Kennedy, he was the first Roman Catholic I voted for president. I thought that was a big deal. Well, Al Smith was a Democrat who ran, and he was Catholic, but he got beat. Did Hoover beat him?
Yes. Yes, he did, because my grandfather campaigned hard for him. For Al Smith, even though my grandfather, I come by my agnosticism honestly, because in the family history that my grandmother wrote up in writing about my grandfather, she said, he was never a member of any organized religion. And by the way, I wanted to point out that in the pledge drive for the new iMac, by the way, we are up around $1,000. We're two thirds of the way toward getting it, and I want to thank Kelly. I had to ask first to make sure it was all right, because I do that. I want to thank Kelly for getting this all started, and it would not be possible had she not stepped in and said, I'll provide the first input.
Bob, I just wanted to, sorry.
Go, Larry.
I thought maybe I'd jump in.
Oh, Roger. Okay, Roger.
Yeah, this is Roger in Minneapolis. Hi, folks. I wanted to throw the following little volleyball out. This week, this business with the stupid fucking deflated football. Okay, that's obviously some kind of cat toy story that's being put out there as a distraction for the mass idiocy that represents the willing swillers of our media landscape. I'm not just talking about the people who put it out, but the people who are willing to swallow it. And it's really obviously designed to take people's minds off of more important issues. And my question is, how far does this media industrial complex think it can go in insulting people's intelligence?
And to that, and Roger, in response to that,
aren't,
I will.
Aren't they risking really making?
No. Who said it? Was it H.L. Mencken who who said you will never go broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people.
It's unfucking believable.
Yes. Well, you know, anyway, I know what you're saying, Roger, and I can and I share your I realize that you're idealistic, and I realize that you probably give people a lot more credit than they probably deserve. I mean, I guess you give people a lot more credit than they probably deserve.
I believe in the possibility and the necessity of cooperative anarchy in our world. And when I see this shit, I just think that they're really treading very close to the edge of awakening a whole bunch of people.
Oh, please, Roger, please don't. I mean, I reverence and I cherish and I hold up your optimism, and I think, no offense, that's all it is.
My optimism is tempered by plenty of life experience. All I'm saying is I can't fucking believe that the media system thinks that people are going to swallow this one. You know, they'll swallow wars and stuff, but at some point, don't some people notice, hey, wait a minute, we're being played for idiots here. Come on.
Well, when I talked to
this is over the top as I've ever seen anything ever.
Well, I have to say that I'm getting more pessimistic by the hour, Roger. When I talk to a number
Benghazi.
Of people, talk to people about a number of these issues, they just say, Larry, it's fascism. It's going to be fascism. Fascism is everywhere, and it's coming, and that's what's going to happen. And you just have to... And other people who are not on the chat anymore have told me, Larry, this is a dystopia. You might as well just get used to it and learn how to live with it, be realistic about it, because that's what it is. So I find it, Roger, to be extremely distasteful, and I'm frightened as hell about it. And I don't know how to deal with it because I've never lived under Nazism. I've never lived under the McCarthyism. I've never lived under Franco or Mussolini or under Idi Amin or any of these people. So I don't have anything to compare it to. But apparently people are telling me it's fascism. So I'd like to hear what people have to say about that. Or what Roger has to say about that.
I think they're getting pretty damn bold.
Well, you have to remember, too, that this is the same media that Bob just played a clip of, you know, the liberals are controlling the weather. So there you have it.
and nobody's mercilessly – look, the real tell in this, I think, is the fact that nobody's mercilessly mocking Flush Flimball. Okay, you know, he got himself in a little hot water over Sandra Fluck, but it passed because the for-profit media. And there's your answer. Roger, there's your answer. Larry, there's your answer. The for-profit media aren't gonna ruin a good thing. And the for-profit media have the attention span of Linguini. Okay? It's pitiable. As Marty just noted, Bob, please tell Roger that as long as the game is played, nothing will happen. Now, I caution a little bit, Roger, against a sort of inherent elitism, and I've talked about this a lot, and I get it a lot on the liberal progressive side of things. Oh, those stupid Americans watching sports. Why can't they be watching competitive wood carving instead? Why won't they tune in the opera? Okay. Sport is our national metaphor. You tune out of sport at the peril of not understanding this country. And there are some great progressive columnists and broadcasters out there who are as liberal as they come, and you can learn a lot about this country reading them, Dave Zirin being at the top of the list.
Dave Zirin is one of the finest writers out there.
Dan Patrick. Keith Olbermann is doing a program on ESPN that I'm sure that nobody's watching. Because the liberals, oh my God, Muffy, I can't believe they're talking about that sport again. Tell me, is Antiques Roadshow a rerun this week? Oh, fuck me running. I hope we didn't miss Downton Goddamned Abbey.
Bob, let me just retort for a sec here. Much as I have not a lot of time for organized professional sports, as far as my desire to spend much attention at it, I took a turn in the road years ago, seeing some aspects of what fascinates many people, and I don't look down on that at all. I think that there's a lot of pleasure to be had in many different kinds of things, and if organized sports and spectator sports please a lot of people, I more or less embrace that as not necessarily a bad thing at all. In fact, I'm a big soccer fan, and you can't tear me away from the TV when the World Cup comes around every 4 years, but that's pretty much it for me. Nonetheless, what I'm really getting at is I'm not deriding sports fans here.
I've heard it on this program. I've heard it on other programs. I've seen it in print, and I I'm not saying everybody has to become. I mean, you like what you like. You like World Cup. And of course, football, which that is the most popular sport in the world. I find rugby fascinating, but, you know, there's not much in the way of rugby on TV around here. In the early heyday of ESPN, I watched a ton as a teenager or whatever, maybe early 20s. I forget. When did it come on? 1986, 23 or so. I watched a ton of Australian rules football because that's what they could get the rights to run.
Bob, forgive me for chiming in. Just one more thing. I really wanted to segue over this. This particular story looks to me like a kind of trial balloon along the lines of, do you remember the media blackout that was declared by the Reagan administration when they decided to wage this idiotic invasion on Grenada in 1983. I thought to myself when they declared that not only would the media establishment hardly stand for that, but that the American people would say, hold on a minute, what's going on here? But what I saw them up to there was really a trial to balloon to see if they could get away with declaring a media blackout. And by God, it went down like just so much squibs cod liver oil. People didn't hardly utter a peep. This almost looks like that kind of a idiot test trial balloon to me.
Well,
I don't know. I think maybe you're reading a little bit too much into it. Look, the Super Bowl has become an orthodox religion. All right, I almost despise the Super Bowl, but I mean I like football. The playoff, you know, they were great playoff games, but then you got to have a two week layover so everybody can talk about the Super Bowl. And of course, we went through that long period of just awful Super Bowls year after year after year after year. They've become much more interesting of late. But you know, I just saw a link. Watch all the Super Bowl ads on this clip without ever having to watch the Super Bowl. It has become a social event. I give it another 20 years before we turn the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday into a federal holiday, so that because everybody's hungover anyway. But
deflated football? Come on.
Well,
Well, I got to tell you, I got to...
It jacked up the hype.
Well, you know, Dave Zirin is the most thoughtful critic, thoughtful sports journalist, and I haven't read many of them, but I would certainly appreciate Dave Zirin a lot more than I appreciate Howard Cosell, and they were both critical, but I really think...
No, Howard Cosell was the dean of his broadcast sporting age.
Boy, Batesmere, help.
The guy practically... everybody remembers Walter Cronkite taking his glasses off and rubbing and wiping off his glasses when he was announcing that John Kennedy was killed.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell practically fell apart when John Lennon was murdered. Howard Cosell told the world that John Lennon had been killed.
Yes.
I remember I was watching that game.
You were watching that game, weren't you? Monday Night Football, right?
I was at work. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had it on the radio, so... I don't think it's as cut and dry. You know, everybody's calling it Deflategate. I much prefer Balghazi, but the for-profit media didn't let Balghazi catch on because that would have been insulting to the teabaggers.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
Are you ruffling something? Your rust?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I'm sorry. I should be muting.
Oh, I'm okay.
But hey, you know what would be a good sport to get into the Olympics? Russian roulette.
For Republicans.
Oh, God. Did you comment?
No. If there was teabagger Russian roulette, you'd have a bunch of teabaggers trying to beat themselves to death with the pistol grip.
Well, yeah. But if we're going to have that, why don't we have Texas teacher in the classroom shooting students?
Yeah, because we got that story in the stack.
Yeah, and my response to John McCain... Talking to Medea Benjamin and Code Pink about them being low-life scumbag. Well, I would like to say to McCain, and I wish I had something a lot more clever and a lot more satirical and biting to say, but the best I can come up with is, it takes one to know one.
Well, no, my first thought when I saw that story about how Bomber John called Code Pink, and I got my own issues with Code Pink. I don't think I will ever forget how they praised Rand Paul's giant testicles and sent him flowers and chocolates for pretending to give up about drone warfare when he was just pretending and using them, but they didn't have a sense enough to see it. But when John McCain called them low-life scum, the immediate response, and it's an easy one, is simply, hey, John, I never bombed any civilian villages. You can't say the same. I never killed any innocent civilians. You can't say the same. Shut the up.
Well, Medea Benjamin and
everybody raise your hand if you think John McCain should shut the up. And, of course, John McCain can't raise his arms.
Yeah, well, they weren't smart enough with that comeback.
What was the comeback?
The comeback was I don't think they had a comeback, actually. Or maybe they did, but they didn't put it in the soundbite. I don't know.
Yeah, but the Capitol Police came in and ushered him out.
Yeah, that was the comeback. And they let and.
Let's remember what Code Pink were upset about. Prosecute Henry Kissinger for war crimes. Now that may not be a majority position in the United States, but that is by God a majority position in the rest of the world. And frankly, you know, if I had my druthers, I think the humane thing to do would be to simply turn Henry Kissinger over to the Vietnamese.
Yep.
Don't the members of Code Pink have the right to perform a citizen's arrest and take this guy off to The Hague?
No. Citizen's arrest? Please stop it. Roger and Humboldt alluded to this. I love it. The bill, you know, just because we spent 3 hours having a hissy over a bill in West Virginia last night doesn't mean that nobody else is doing anything. In Texas, they're actually considering a bill to confer immunity on teachers who decide to take out their freedom protectors and kill the occasional student, as long as they believe the student is a threat to other students or anyone else on school grounds.
Or school property.
There's the fun part.
That's exactly right.
There's the fun part.
The out, I think, yesterday.
Texas is the only state in the union that allows the use of deadly force in defense of property. And this would be the same. So let's say a kid is spray painting Mrs. Schmendrick socks on the school wall. Well, Mrs. Schmendrick can walk up and blow the kid away and be immune from prosecution.
Well, you know something, Bob? When I asked Devin, and I was talking with Devin about, and I asked why was it that Ferg had had enough with being in the high school in Fayette County, and he told me what the high school was like in Barber County and what these students have to go through who go to that, it's a public high school, and when he mentioned what they had set up there to surveil and to treat the students like they were all a bunch of hardened criminals, I can understand why Ferg would have had enough. And I said, well, why didn't Bob say anything? And Devin said, Larry, Bob has no choice. He can't say anything.
Bob said, stop it. Bob said plenty. I said a ton. But, oh, by the way, I got a thank you in from Steve for no citizen's arrest. Thanks, Obama. Yeah. He's working your corner, Gerald. By the way, the last person responding to the I'll see it and raise you, Steve started at 15. That was followed by Gerald, who saw the 15 and raised 20. Rob saw the 20 and raised to 25. So if anybody wants to, there the 25 is out there and needs to be raised to 30 if anybody wants to jump in. So,
oh,
just say.
Oh, by the way, Bob, before you go back to your story, I know you mentioned Kelly at $1,000. I called my local Mac store, not the Apple store, but my local Mac store where I got my iMac, and I said, do they have any, how can, you know, I have somebody who really needs to get a Apple tower. And they said, well, we don't really know what
happened. No. We're just going to just leave it alone. Thank you, Larry, but just leave it be because we're going to go with an iMac. It would be nice to have a Mac Pro, but those things are so brutally expensive that ain't going to happen.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm doing my best.
I appreciate it.
I was mentioning about Ferg and all that, and if he had to go through all that.
Ferg was bullied from fifth grade. Fifth grade to 12th.
Because
not to change the subject or anything, but you were talking about immunity. Did anyone see the story about the legislator? I don't even remember what state it was, who got a DUI and it was way up there, and he's trying to get out of it because he was going to or from, you know, the legislative immunity bullshit. You know, they can't be arrested while they're performing work, going to or from the state house.
Right.
Did anyone see that story?
No, I didn't.
I believe it was Texas.
Probably Texas.
Yeah.
And by the way, you mentioned that a minute ago, Larry. Just to fill in real quick, Diane just jumped in, so we are now $400 away from being able to get the new iMac.
Cool.
I am so not a part of the Mac world. I have no idea how this operating system works. I'm sure it'll take eons for me to learn it. So I'm getting warnings. I got a note from Tim saying, "Oh, for God's sakes, don't get anything with." Hang on. I got it. What do we got here? Hold on. Gotta find it.
Yeah, Tim is the mic expert. Mac expert is a group.
We got a bunch of Mac experts out there, but Tim was.
No, the Horn Malloy group.
Where is it? Tim was telling me don't. No, that's not it.
Jimmy?
He said,
check the chat room.
Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. He said, OS 10.10.2 Yosemite is buggy. And to get it one with the 10.9.5 Maverick. Do not, if you get it with Maverick, don't upgrade to Yosemite.
Oh, well, I should have taken his advice because I upgraded. But what I can tell you about the iMac as opposed to the Power Mac is that the iMac is a consumer machine, and the other one is a you know, for people who want to do high-powered video stuff and high-powered, you know, play, you know, that's what the Pro machine is really. That's what I was told that it was, the differences between the two. But I'm certainly happy, you know, and I wouldn't. I'm happy you're getting a Mac. If you got a PC machine that worked, you know, really decently, I'd be really happy too. But you know what I'm saying. I wanted
here's
to ask.
Friend,
you, what's that?
Here's a friendly suggestion regarding upgrading. I find it wise with Apple products if they work well with the operating system that was on them when I got the thing. I leave it that way because it usually is well matched to the hardware. And unless there's an extremely compelling reason to upgrade, I never do. So I'm still using 5.11 on my iPad because that's what came with it 3 years ago. And I have found that that general policy with both Windows or Microsoft stuff or PCs Apple products has worked out pretty well for me. A lot of times when you upgrade, you wind up with a computer that really isn't designed to handle the intricacies of the new operating system. That's just my policy.
Roger, the new iOS update came through for the whatever it is, it's iOS 8, and it just updates automatically.
Oh, well, I prevent it. You have to proactively prevent it.
Hey, let me ask one question. Is in an iMac, is RAM upgradable?
Yes.
Okay.
It depends upon, how much RAM comes with it, and if all the RAM slots are taken up, you can't. But if you've got some slots available, and I had when I got mine in 2011, you can add more RAM to it.
Well, one thing to know also is that generally speaking, the business model that Apple is operating on is sort of a walled garden scenario where you find yourself with less freedom than you might be accustomed to, Bob. I don't know if you've ever owned Apple products, but they have their own ideas mapped out for the degree to which users should be able to manipulate their systems. Now, I think when it comes to desktop computers, that's probably a little bit more open, and there are people who are going to know a lot more about that than me. But I've built and manipulated countless computers in my life, and that's one major issue I have is less freedom with Apple products.
Well, I understand that, but for my purposes, this is specific relative to this mixer unit that we want to bring in before the one that I'm working on kicks the dust.
Well, one of the cool things about Apple stuff is that it has a way of working.
Well, right, and see, that's the thing. That mixer, the beauty of it is the FireWire connectivity because you've got total in-out, multi-channel. It's awesome when it works. But on the PCs, it never worked consistently. And folks who've been listening for a while may remember when I would turn into a Cylon when I was in D.C.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Well, thank you, Jim. Well, Larry. Wait.
Sorry.
The connector for the unit is FireWire 400. So we'll go from there.
Okay.
And that's when the group bought you that one Firewire deal.
Right, exactly. Which occasionally worked. And we did that specifically because it had the approved Texas Instruments chipset in it.
Well, the basic complaints that people with PCs have about Apple, and I'm sure you've heard them, is that Apple is an open system, which means that you can use a lot, you can run a lot more programs on it, and the PC is a lot cheaper than an Apple, but you run the risk of getting of being infected by viruses. The advantage to having an Apple machine and is that the Apple machine, you can get a virus, but it's a lot less likely, but it's a closed system. And you can only, and Apple makes all the products, makes all the components of their system, but it's closed. So you can't customize an Apple. Once you get an Apple, unless you've got the Power Mac machine, you can add a bunch of hard drives to it, and you can add more stuff to it.
Yeah, I don't want to customize. I don't want to customize. What I have to do, what I want it to do, among other things, and this may make some sense to some people. You'd have to see the setup in here, but in order to see what's going on the Skype machine, which is a laptop, we used to do it all through one computer, but this one won't anymore after Windows 8. I have to look over to see any messages on Skype or to see that a call is even coming in. The goal is to just completely take this laptop out of the loop and have me looking at one screen, which is running the mix desk, which is sending the stream to the streaming PC, which is, you know, my story tabs open, yada, 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 yada. And, you know, playing music, playing audio for playback, all of that. And hopefully get that, you know, in other words, one-stop shopping. You get my meaning?
Yeah, how long do you think the training wheels will be on?
I'll probably, if this thing comes in this week and I'm able to get it in line, Saturday and Sunday of next week, I should be okay. I mean, I'll probably have to be led by the hand to go and find audio settings and stuff like that. But it's just about time that I learned things like this.
Bob, this is Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
Hey, I got a Mac, iMac. I've always had a Mac in like 2009, and I bought mine refurbished, which means I could get a more expensive Mac for a cheaper price. So
okay.
I don't know if anybody has any ideas on that. And I've never had a problem. And I had extra slots. I just put in more RAM, and it works great, like a workhorse.
It has to do with who we have to do business with, but I appreciate that. This is Jenny in Wisconsin.
Yep,
oh, no.
That's me.
Huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Jenny
okay.
Because
I've got another question to ask you about an upcoming project that you might find interesting.
Okay.
Because your art hangs on my wall.
Awesome.
the sand hills of Wisconsin, many of which have now been blown up.
Oh, it's so disturbing.
Thanks, well, Obama.
Thank you. Well, I tell you what, Gerald, you're on your game tonight, brother.
What wasn't there a sand hills in the 19th century? The Sand Hills Massacre.
No, that's the Sand Creek Massacre.
Sand Creek.
That's Colonel John Chivington in Colorado. These are little hills that extend from Wisconsin into Minnesota and Iowa, which are it's a particularly fine silica sand, and while there's no frack gas under the area, the sand itself is used for the fracking process, and they are blowing the bejesus out of west central Wisconsin, east central Minnesota, and northeast Iowa. And they're using, you know, they're hills. It's not, you know, they're not mountains, but they're hills, and it's essentially the same operational philosophy, Gerald, as mountaintop removal. And they're filling the air with these ultrafine particulates of silicates, which, if you look at them under a microscope, look like little pieces of jagged glass and are just breathable cancer.
Yep.
And Jenny, a couple of years ago, Jenny is a painter, and provided me with a beautiful, beautiful portrait of the Wisconsin sandhills, and it hangs here in my studio. And sometimes I just sit and look at it, and it takes me away.
I'm so glad you like it, Bob.
Oh, I love it, Jenny. I do. I do.
That's awesome.
So now we need to
Before I forget, you were talking about Kissinger.
Yeah.
He was working for the Americans, you know, the U.S., on the Nuremberg trials. He had a background there. I
don't know whether he was learning about what he wanted to do or what, you know, by listening to the trials. But he was involved. I got to walk around Kissinger's airplane in 1974. He was on his way back or to China. And you would have helped everybody in the world if you'd put a bomb on it. Well, it was on the transit pad at Guam at Anderson when I was there. I never forget that seeing the door open and the seal was on the inside of the door. Because when they had the door open it was a 135 type plane, you know, 707, and it had the seal of Secretary of State of the United States on it. He was in the officers' club, probably. It was just the officers' club was right off the runway, probably. I mean, he was probably in there instead of the transit terminal. Yeah. I got to see some interesting airplanes flying in and out of Guam. Got to see a New Zealand Vulcan bomber land there with the big Kiwi on the back.
That was British built, huh?
Yeah.
Vulcan.
Mm-hmm. It came out at the same time as a B-52.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't stay in service as long as a B-52.
I'll never forget the little wheels on the wings of the B-52, and as they started down the runway, the wheels on the wings are down on the runway, and then the wings lifted up, and half a mile later, the plane lifted off.
I almost got killed by a tip gear on Guam. I was working on an indicator switch on a tip gear. I was on a B-4 stand, and I was hanging off the top of the railing, and it was windy, and the wing was up in the air, and all of a sudden a gust came down, and there was no gas in the tank. It was a tip gear tank there, a gas tank, and the wing went up, and then it decided to come down. My head was hanging over the railing, and the wing come down and smashed my head right to the railing and stopped, and then it went up again. And I threw that railing off that B-4 stand. I said, I'm not going to have this on here to work. I don't care if somebody writes me up.
Well, can you imagine the Wright brothers standing there at a distance watching this whole thing? They've been dropped from the interland, you know? Look at that. When it started out, it was like, you know, I had a grandmother who was like in her 90s, and when she was a kid, there was no such thing as an airplane.
Bill, I've got the same experience. My grandmother was born in 1894, and she's told me about the first time she ever saw an airplane fly over.
These people had to. We've had to make a lot of adjustments in our lifestyles and in our knowledge base. But those poor folks, of course, they did have one good thing, Bob. You know what it was?
What's that?
Free lunch.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
working. Heard of that too, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm working. Know. Working Gerald's Corner again.
I had an oh shit moment. Off. I had an oh shit moment a couple of hours ago. There was a plane that flew over here. It was less than 1,000 feet. And it was when I was looking out the window, and I didn't run out the back to see what happened to it, but I'm sure it was, he was just buzzing somebody or something.
Thanks, Obama.
Well,
hey, I wanted to throw out a little bit of fun for you. I started out the program talking about Brian Fisher. It just so happens that the folks over at Right Wing Watch have a compendium of all the hateful crap this guy has said, and he's only been around since 2009. It turns out I thought it was longer than that. But all the hateful, some of the hateful crap that he said that never got him in trouble before he ran afoul of, saying stuff about that involved talking about Israel. Let's see. Muslims are stupid and violent because of inbreeding. Gay sex is domestic terrorism. I don't know what else you'd call it. If Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed, America will be defended by sexual perverts and deviants. Every mosque is an IED, and every Muslim is guilty of treason. Homosexuals are defined by one characteristic only. They want to use the anal cavity for sex. Native Americans are mired in poverty and alcoholism because they refuse to accept Christianity. Native Americans need to leave the reservation, convert to Christianity, and become a full-fledged American citizen. Welfare just gives money to people who rut like rabbits. All immigrants must convert to Christianity. Muslims represent a toxic cancer to American society. Gays are Nazis. Liberals hate God. Make homosexuality a criminal offense. First Amendment does not apply to Mormons. Every homosexual represents a heightened security risk. God will cure AIDS if gays stop having sex. It's perfectly appropriate to discriminate against homosexuality. Government should mandate that everyone attend church and tax those who don't. Removal of prayer in the Ten Commandments from schools responsible for Colorado shooting. Gays are driven by a dark, venomous, demonic hatred. Muslims are worshiping a demon. Political leadership ought to be reserved for the hands of males. The 9/11 terrorists were agents of God's wrath. God didn't stop Connecticut school shooting because he's a gentleman who doesn't go where he's not wanted. Sodomy is an ugly word because it describes ugly behavior. People who believe in evolution are disqualified from holding political office in the United States of America. God will use ISIS to punish America for gay rights. Suggests the Charlie Hebdo attack was God's punishment for the magazine's blasphemy. Being an active homosexual should disqualify you from public office. You'll never find a more directly demonic energy than when you deal with the homosexual agenda.
Classy.
And he got away with all of that until he said something about Israel.
But give it. But give
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Obama.
But give it. And he needs the casino and you took them too.
This guy's a bigger hater than Fred Phelps.
Oh, because he's got better hair. Now, bear in mind, despite all of this, this weekend, it may have already taken off, 60 members of the Republican National Committee are flying to Israel on a trip organized by David Lane and funded by the American Family Association, and only because that came to light, only because of that, did it become necessary to, well, but the AFA made it seem like they had fired Brian Fisher when, in fact, what they had done is merely taken off his title as communications director. He is still on the air.
Bob, I have a question, and this is a naive question, but all these people that become evangelical preachers and they go to the school to learn how to preach and they get all this in for, you know, what do they teach them in these schools? Do they, you know, I mean, what is it that they, that the, these people are turned out to say all of this crazy crap? Don't they learn anything other than how to get up and bullshit an audience, or am I just being naive and silly, you know? You get what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think I do.
Oh good what? News. My neighbor who got flooded out had to rebuild his house. Looks like he's got it rebuilt because he's brought his logging truck home, and it looks like he's getting ready to go back to work because he's been rebuilding his house ever since the flood.
Probably got an Obama phone, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he had flood insurance. Probably got some of that FEMA money, too.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama. Probably getting snapped.
Now he just has to get rid of that storage to go container that's been sitting in his driveway for the last month and a half.
FEMA's probably paying for that too.
Yeah.
And freeloaders.
We got like a half a dozen of them in this neighborhood.
I don't know how you stand it, Sparky.
Well, you know, Bob.
Tell them to just pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I got to end to everybody. If you want to read somebody who's a critic of the political economy and media, it's Robert McChesney. Bob McChesney is a good, has written a number of books about the shortcomings of the monopoly media, just like Ben Bagdikian. You probably have read them, but.
Oh, you got me licked on both of them, Larry.
Yeah, well, Ben Bagdikian was the dean of the School of Journalism at UC Berkeley for a long time, and McChesney teaches at University of Illinois in the Communications and Information Department. So they're pretty good people to read if you want to understand at least that perspective on monopoly capitalism and monopoly media.
I see Jason's here for the Florida report.
Yeah, you need a Florida report?
Well, what's happening down there?
Yes, please.
It's cool. It's been creeping down all the way into the 50s at night sometimes.
Okay. Wow. You just got in here and earned your first shut the up, Jason.
I was trying for that, Bob, actually.
I know. Yeah, I think, let's see. It's actually with gas heat, electric heat, and the Bob's Toes Don't Go Numb foot pad warmer. It's a toasty 68 in here, but we're going down to a lovely 15 here tonight.
It's 24 here in the capital city, and shove it, Jason.
Well, I've been on vacation though. I went up to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, for a weekend and a little bit more than a weekend.
And it's lovely there.
It was cold up there. Saw a little bit of snow. First time I've seen snow in a couple years now. I always seem to miss it when I'm up in North Carolina visiting. It always comes out. Leave or is gone before I get there.
Nice thing about this place, all I have to do is walk out in the backyard and look to the right, and I can see snow.
Yeah, we were in that, Sparky. We were up there in the mountains. We were on top of one of them. I don't forget the name of the mountain, but anyway, we were on the top ridge, and we were in the snow, and you'd look down when the fog finally cleared out. You could look down, and you could see the snow line, and everything else down in the valley was brown.
God, the Smokies are just beautiful, though.
Well, yeah. Unless you can look out your windows and snow, I really don't want to hear about it.
Well, I can walk out. I can look north.
No, no, no. Looking at a glacier doesn't count.
In the wintertime and see Mount Shasta. Just the top.
If you're complaining about 73-degree weather, you know, you don't have any sympathy from us.
But getting on the freeway on a clear day and being able to see the Trinity Alps and Mount Shasta and then look over and see Mount Lassen, it's like, there's my snow. That's my happy snow. That's water. That's water storage.
Yeah, Ferg's beginning to get itchy. He's thinking he's heading back in the spring.
Oh, tell him he's missing out today, this weekend in Red Bluff's big cowboy event. It's the Red Bluff Bull Sale.
I will do no such thing.
And they come from all over the West to come out here to sell bulls and cattle dogs and cutting horses. And it's just a big, crazy event that's been going on here for years and years and years. My dad took me to one when I was a kid just to watch the auction. He said, sit on your hands and don't move.
Yeah, don't even flinch.
I just got to jump in here for a minute. If Ferg comes back out to the West Coast, we can work it all out then, but he definitely has to come over to the coast.
Oh, he wants to.
Be over there with Sparky and being in Red Bluff and getting all hot and all that.
No, actually where he
needs to come over and see the big trees.
Roger, where he works is up near the Oregon border.
Well, Roger knows where Doris is.
Yeah, not far. Yeah. You know, near Weed.
Yeah. But on a weekend, he can come over to Eureka.
Yeah.
It's a long trip.
Yeah. Shit, take a week off, you know. I'll give him something to take home to Bob to stuff a cowbell bell.
Now.
What, thanks, stuff a cowbell bell when you ship it? You know, all you're doing is trying to keep it from making noise.
Yeah, because you don't want a copper clapper caper going on.
Right.
Yeah, and there was no copper clapper cable going on when I shipped Bob the cowbell.
Yeah, I got a laugh out of Bill with that. I know Bill knows what the copper clapper caper is.
Yep. Correct. Hey, it was a takeoff that Carson and Webb used to do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I've been trying to find is a recording by Webb's second wife, Julie London. You ever get that name?
No. Hang on here, though. I got the copper clapper caper. If people have never heard it, will find it quite humorous. Stand by. See, I can almost imagine a time when we won't be doing this.
Waiting. Working.
Are we? Yeah, I think we are.
What was that, the Star Trek?
Here we go.
This is the city.
It's a picture of Los Angeles in the smog.
Los Angeles, California. Some people rob for pleasure. Some rob because it's there. You never know. My name's Friday. I'm a cop. I was working the day watch on a robbery when I got a call from the Acme School Bell Company. There's been a robbery. Yes, sir? What was it? My clappers. Your clappers. Yeah, you know those things inside a bell that makes them clang? The clangers. That's right, we call them clappers in the business. A clapper caper. What's that? Nothing, sir. Now, can I have the facts? What kind of clappers were stolen on this caper? They were copper clappers. And where were they kept? In the closet? Uh-huh. You have any ideas who might have taken the copper clappers from the closet? Well, just one. I fired a man. He swore he'd get even. What was his name? Claude Cooper. You think he...
That's right.
I think Claude Cooper copped my copper clappers. Kept in the closet. You know where this Claude Cooper is from? Yeah. Cleveland. That figures. That figures. What makes it worse, they were clean. Clean copper clappers. That's right. Why do you think Cleveland's Claude Cooper would cop your clean copper clappers kept in your closet?
Here it comes.
Only one reason. What's that? He's a kleptomaniac. Who first discovered the copper clappers were copped? My cleaning woman. Clara Clifford. That figures. Now let me see if I got the facts straight here. Cleaning woman Clara Clifford discovered your clean copper clappers kept in a closet were copped by Claude Cooper, the kleptomaniac from Cleveland. Now, is that about it? One other thing. What's that? If I ever catch kleptomaniac Claude Cooper from Cleveland who copped my clean copper clappers from kept in the closet, yes, I'll clobber him.
Couldn't resist. I love that bit.
Oh, man.
That's right up there with the... Oh, I got my own cowbell. That's right up there with the... God, Man of a Thousand Voices. Come on. Mel Blanc. The Mel Blanc bit, talking with Jack Benny. Sitting in the bus station.
The money of your life?
No. What's your, you waiting for the bus? See? And Mel's sitting there in a sombrero and a serape. See? And where are you going? To see my sister. What's her name? Sue? See? Because I love wordplay. I'm a nerd. Let's see. This is a note from Marty. He says, hey, I'll drive to Eureka for a gathering of horn followers. We don't have followers. We're a family commune congregation. Marty, get it right. But, yeah.
Hey, the new Sutton Walmart's going to hire 300 people.
Hoo-wee!
Because nothing says progress like minimum wage, low hour jobs.
Right, where you work off the clock for free.
Yeah.
Who got the building?
Probably some outfit from South Carolina or Florida.
Yeah, North Carolina, South Carolina, somewhere.
They brought some Floridians in to pave the parking lot where the Kroger and CVS and everything, or well, not CVS, but Kroger's there and Radio Shack and used to be Kmart. And apparently you don't pave in Florida the way you pave anywhere that it snows. This thing's gravel.
Believe it or not, the Walmart here in my hometown and the one in Reading were both wired by union electricians when they were built.
That's because you live in civilization. Now, occasionally, a Walmart around here will occasionally get some union work. I think there was one built that had the dirt work done by union labor.
Well, you have to hand it to the people in the Flatwood Sutton area, Braxton County, West Virginia. They fought it for a long time. They really did.
Yeah.
And then finally happened, you know.
Well, they fought it in Morgantown for ages and thought they had them licked, and then bang. Because they if I recall what my buddy Matt told me, the one they built in Morgantown, they built on top of native bones.
And?
Get right. Well, the Fayetteville Walmart is built on the site of the first ever usage of indirect artillery firing. Talk about your action alley.
You know, Walmart's got a pretty good reputation, though. I mean, they're the only company that can come in and build a store, hire 300 people, and the unemployment rate goes up.
Right. Yeah. And so does the public assistance application.
Yeah, it's part of the orientation. They teach you how to sign up for SNAP and Section 8 HUD and all the, you know, all the giveaways and big government, you know.
Exactly.
And to everyone out there, I'm being sarcastic when I do all this. I don't really feel this way.
No, we understand.
Some people are thinking that I'm serious.
Look who's here, Bob.
Hey, it's Jack from Shreveport.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Oh, got my allergies going, but I just had one little story I just couldn't let go that I had to talk about.
Okay.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, you know how proud I am, you know, being from Louisiana, every once in a while, you know, I'll have to tweet about something or email about something good that, you know, that I'm proud of in because I'm in Louisiana. Well, this time it's even closer and prouder because it's about Shreveport. I open up the paper, yesterday morning, and I see Shreveport is fifth most Bible-minded city. And I just...
Anybody check the divorce rates in Shreveport?
Divorce rates? I don't know about that. They gave the five most Bible-minded, of which we were fifth. The first is Birmingham, Alabama. There's Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Right.
The Tri-Cities region of Tennessee. And the Roanoke-Lynchburg part of Virginia. And then there's us in Shreveport.
Colorado Springs is slacking.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I guess just when you're concentrated with the Air Force Academy, initialized kind of deal. And this is individual Bible-minded. It's not, you know, preaching and that kind of thing.
Right.
Providence, Rhode Island / New Bedford, Massachusetts, you know, up there in the north. Albany, New York, up there in the north. Boston, Massachusetts, up there in the north. San Francisco, I guess it's all the gays, right? And Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where I just have got no idea why that happened. But let's see. This is for the second year in a row. Shreveport has landed the number five spot. Organization ranks Shreveporters among the highest in combined levels of regular Bible reading and expressed belief in the Bible's accuracy. To be considered Bible-minded, respondents must state that they had read the Bible in the past 7 days and that they believe strongly in the accuracy of the Bible.
Oh, so me going out and looking up the Lot's daughters raping Lot part doesn't count, right?
Well, I mean, it all, you know, to some of these people, they believe strongly in... Unless I missed something for not having really that much knowledge of it. Nationally, only 27% of the population was considered Bible-minded. Anyway, you know, that there's more to it, but
well, my hometown doesn't quite qualify as a city, but I'm sure we got a higher percentage of Bible thumpers.
What's a Bible? Does Obama give you one of those?
Yeah, they came with the plan.
Jack, where did this story? Where did this piece come from?
It's in my local paper, and it's the author is has a ShreveportTimes.com origin.
Okay. So these are the most biblically literate or biblically literal. They believe the Bible literally, and they read the Bible, and they believe in it.
And it says the study is taken, or study analyzes the Bible-mindedness of the top 100 cities by population across the nation. So I guess, you know, there could be, you know, Jason, there like a small town that they don't even consider, you know.
They're all over rural America. They're going by cities, so, you know. I'm not trying to one up you or anything. I was just wanting to throw something. I was wanting to throw something onto that. And the other thing is, my small town, I found out an interesting statistic about it while I was up there. 34% of all children in the town I'm from, the county I'm from, in North Carolina, don't know, other than school, don't know where their next meal's coming from.
Yeah, but did they have a Jesus Fest like we did here in West Virginia? Bob probably knows what I'm talking about.
A church feeds them some.
No, this was a, I can't remember. One of the northern cities had a Jesus Fest. It was actually put on by the city, a government organization, a few number of years ago. Help me out here, Bob. I can't remember.
I'm stumped too, Gerald.
I can't remember. It was up in the northern part of the state.
I usually save myself for the Black Walnut Festival, Bridge Day, and the Huntington Hot Dog Festival.
Well, yeah.
We have a hot dog festival in West Virginia.
Of course
not
we do.
Not kidding.
What do you think we buy with all those food stamps?
And Jesus Festival is put them in a dunk tank, you know. 3 balls for a quarter, you can drop Jesus into the water, you know. That sounds like a popular thing for me to do. Of course, you can't really do that because he could just get out and walk on it. So forget that.
Oh wow, Kevin tells me Colorado Springs proudly came in 62nd in that poll.
Oh, please say hello to Kevin.
You just did, Larry.
Was it Holy Walker Bill?
I wonder where Fort Lauderdale is on that.
Not at all certain. Anybody, Jack? Do you have a linky that you can post in the chat room, or in the Skype chat?
What the link to that?
To the survey.
That article.
To that story.
I can get it. I'll have to. It'll take me a minute, but I'll put it in there.
That was Clarksburg, Bob.
Oh well, that makes. Wow, they've gone for now. Wait a minute, the Clarksburg Italian Heritage Festival is freaking awesome. You mean they've got a Jesus Fest too?
Yeah, it's JesusFestWV.org.
Shoot me. Okay. No, don't. Sorry.
I'm not making it up. You can't make stuff like this up.
Yeah.
Need a piece.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Not in West Virginia, anyway. Thanks, Obama.
You just have to be here, you know.
Here's a quick additional volleyball. Any theories, social evolution theories, whatever, about why there's such a thing as the Bible Belt?
Absolutely. That's easy. That's where the locus of the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening came after the Enlightenment, and the Awakening was rather ironic. There were two Great Awakenings, and they were religiously fervid expressions of zealotry, and they ran throughout the Appalachia and the South and westward with the expanding nation, and were driven largely by Scots-Irish Protestants.
Well, yesterday in my social movements class, the instructor showed us a tract or a book written by Jonathan Edwards, and in order to show us that there were actually some fundamentalist evangelical preachers that were very supportive of the abolitionist movement. So apparently there were some pretty cool people that knew that what was going on in the South was horrible back around when Jonathan Edwards was.
No, writing. Without a doubt. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. If you can look past a lot of the bigotry and other things, you look in a lot of those Southern Baptist churches and stuff like that, there are people that really want to do a lot of good.
Well, there are, and
hard to look past that veil.
And some of those Southern Baptist churches and Churches of Christ, man, if you think the Southern Baptists are weird, wait till you meet the Church of Christ. And I'm not talking about the United Churches of Christ. I'm talking about Church of Christ. Those are some... there are people who want to do well. Of course, my thesis is that they would do good whether they were that or not. But
that's right.
But
absolutely agree.
By way of extension, though, those are also some of the kinkiest places on earth. I mean, because when you get that, I don't know. It's kind of like the concentration of mass and energy in a black hole. When you get that much sexual tension and that much sexual repression, and you just constantly compress it via telling people how filthy of spirit they are and how the homosexuals is destroying America, sooner or later the goddess of irony is just going to touch it, and it's going to explode like it's full of springs, and it does on any given church, any given, especially the evangelical fundamentalists, largely Protestants, are simply hotbeds of sexual peccadilloes, deviances, weirdness, and just outright loving them. Okay?
Well, didn't...
Because it's more fun when you think it's dirty, right?
Yeah, hasn't happened. Hasn't Devin and Jason and Embrant and a number of people brought that up, that when you go down south and you're running along the whatever they call the freeway there, and you see go to church, and then the next billboard is there's a strip club.
Well, down south we always make sure we got a back door in the liquor store so the deacons can slip in without being seen.
And that stereotype is based upon reality, right?
Right
down the road, there's a big billboard about God, this, and the truth, seek the truth, and there's a website and all this, you see a lot of it around here.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's even worse the further south you go,
I'm reminded of that line from the song in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Touchy, 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 touch me. I want to be dirty. That's evangelical fundamentalist Christianity in a nutshell. I mean, you never hear about the sexual kinkies coming out of the mosques. There's very seldom any rampant, just, oh my God, you can do that stories coming out of the Episcopal Church. But oh well, my heavenly days! Hey, I gotta pull this. I gotta pull this up a little bit short, though. Got us some irony there. Probably takes it. Got to get out of here. Hey, look, this is really exciting.
Hey, Bob, can I say one thing?
Yes.
I paid it forward to the Malloy chat.
Okay.
I dropped the line to Greg.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. This is amazing. I just brought the idea up this evening for getting us an iMac, and bang, we're only $400 away, which is really awesome.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Mac person, too. I think I heard at the beginning of the show people were writing in.
Yeah, and we got to get out of here because we're past the 9 o'clock hour now. Thanks, everybody, and thank you to Laborman, thank you to Gary Laborman, for have a show on me more and Monday. Thank you, and thank you to Steve and to Gerald and to Rob for seeing and raising each other. Thank you to Kelly for getting this whole idea started as far as. Upgrading equipment here is concerned, and thanks most of all to all of you who spend your finite, precious time engaged in conversation in whatever way you do in this little community. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT.org. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And everybody, please have a happy weekend. Me, I'm going to try to figure out some way to do a little birthday celebrating tomorrow. Y'all take care.